With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, guys. It's The Ghost. Today, I want to talk about the Squid Games. I'm always interested in how people are filling their time, and especially during these times when trying to fill your time can be challenging. Well, this Netflix show has gotten a ton of followers. And for those of you that don't know what it is, it's a TV show out of South Korea. It's a fictional drama. And here's how it lays out. The contestants who are deeply in debt, they end up playing these children's games so that they can win a ton of cash. Okay, so this makes sense. But the downside is if you lose, you are taken out. Okay, that's not great. If a person can't nail down this red light, green light, they are really just a goner. It's an intense show that a lot of people are watching, and I thought it deserved a little bit of a touch base from us. And since so many people are interested, I thought it'd be fun to take a look at some of the things happening behind the scenes that if you are a fan, you may or may not have noticed. I'm calling them the little Easter eggs hidden throughout the show. Before we get started, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have two channels, A Stranger World Than Fiction, and we also have They Call Me The Ghost, A Stranger World Than Fiction, where we talk about all things strange. Secondly, we have They Call Me The Ghost, and that is where I, The Ghost, share a lot of my on-the-job experiences. And don't forget to check out our podcast. So if you are into all things strange, outrageous, crazy, and mysterious, you're in the right place. Okay, let's get back to Squid Games and talk about a few things that even if you're a fan, you might have missed. I'm going to start out by giving you this fun fact. If you didn't realize, Squid Games is number one on Netflix in 90 different countries. That's pretty impressive. It makes it one of the most popular shows on Netflix ever. Between the twists and the turns and all of those surprises that they throw at you, it really is a true masterpiece. And for those watching it, it keeps them on the edge of their seats every time. But what about all those Easter eggs, as I said, or hidden clues, foreshadowing, that people might have missed, but the people making the show took a lot of time to include? You won't believe all these behind-the-scenes little facts about Squid Games, but no, could be a spoiler alert for some. We're going to start with that phone number. Did you hear that Netflix had to make some changes to the show? Well, first off, it had to do with that phone number displayed on the business card that was given to prospective players. The editing team was supposed to remove the middle or last four digits of the number that was thrown at them, but accidentally, they remove the first three numbers. Okay, why does this matter? Well, the phone number that they put out there was actually a real phone number, and the owner of this number was receiving prank calls and text messages. So Netflix had to go in and edit those scenes that showed that phone number. That's a lot of work they had to do behind the scenes. These things happen without us even noticing it. How about old man? He's not gassed. All right, well, here is one of those Easter eggs I promised you. This one is about number one, aka, right? The old man's identity as the mastermind behind the games, Enam. During the montage of the contestants who are waiting for the van to re-enter the game, all of them are shown getting into the car and being gassed by the old man, okay? But old man is only shown getting into the van. Is this a detail that you missed? How about Ji-hun's gift hints at players' fates? Do you remember when Ji-hun wins the present for his daughter for her birthday in the claw machine, and he opens it up only to find a gun. Well, luckily, it just looked like a gun, but it was in fact just a lighter. Anyway, the gun has deeper meaning. Most of the players in the game were killed with guns. The gift box also looks similar to the coffins the dead players were put into. Even the lighter represents how their bodies were cremated to dispose of them. How about the final and first game played in the same spot? Did you notice that? You may have thought the final game, the Squid Game, where Ji-hun and Sang-woo are supposed to fight to the death, looked familiar. Well, there's a reason for that, because the last game is played in the exact same spot as Red Light, Green Light. Something else to know. The art director will tell you that the first and last game were played in the same spot because they wanted the story itself to tell a story questioning who would be the last. It was about personal strife, not really mechanism. That's what they have to say. That's what they're thinking about long before you're even watching it. Now, what about their logo? The business card with a number inviting the players to participate in the games, we already talked about that, but it also has a logo. It has a circle, triangle, square, and they aren't just the Korean characters' acronym for the Squid Game. They also are used to indicate staff ranks from lowest to highest, which is worn on the staff's masks. So let's explain that. From left to right, the circles are the lowest service workers. The triangles, those are for the soldiers. And the squares, they're for tech support and management. Seems like everything has ranking these days, so of course there is ranking in the Squid Games as well. How about the fact that the show goes full circle? Did you realize that one? It's another cool detail that you might have missed, and it relates to where Ji-hun is picked up for the game. In the first episode, he's picked up for the game in the same spot where the homeless man is freezing to death in the last episode. So how cool is that? The show literally goes from the beginning to end, full circle. Something else that they're thinking about behind the scenes that you may or may not even notice, but it means something to the creators. And I love these little details because they put time and effort and thought into all of this, and then people just can enjoy it, and they're hoping that some of you out there have noticed what they've done. Did you notice this? The location is Yeouido, which is the financial center of the Korean economy, and that would be comparable to Wall Street. And we know Wall Street, it's been in a ton of movies, it's the basis for so many things creatively, as well as in our actual lives. Right? It really is a real thing that matters. And this location does as well. So if you didn't know that, that's what you're looking at. And how about that waltz that appears throughout the show? There's a tune, if you didn't know, that appears over and over again in the show. And it's a John Strauss composition called the Blue Danube Waltz. Okay. This, as well as the Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon, are very calming compared to the sheer violence and terror that's actually happening in the show. This is thought out as well. They need to keep you a little bit calm so that you can actually take in what's happening. You might not have noticed what's happening, but they thought about it before you even watched it. And what's up with the old man? The old man hints that he is the mastermind. Him not getting gassed when he re-enters the game, and Yi-nam translating to number one in the first place, they're not the only hints that old man is the mastermind behind the games. There are a ton of others throughout the series. Among them are the fact that the neighborhood in the marble game looks just like the one from Old Man's Neighborhood. He's the only one, the only elderly player in the game. He has knowledge of the games, and he's excited to play Red Light, Green Light when everyone is being brutally taken out. Also, in Red Light, Green Light, the robotic doll doesn't register that he's even a player. So why would that be? And yet another little Easter egg I promised you that you might have missed the first time around watching this. It happens in episode 2. After the participants voted to end the game and leave, returning back to the outside world, the episode foreshadows their death in the games. This included falling off a bridge, a knife to the neck, stealing, and taking out oneself. The creators really thought every last detail through. They didn't leave any stone unturned. It's very brilliant. Can you imagine being in those brainstorming sessions? I bet there was a lot of motivation in that room and adrenaline as they worked through all of these ideas. How about Ji-hun's red hair? As if people couldn't be more shocked after the final game, people were stunned when Ji-hun dyes his hair red in the final season, and it had people actually pretty confused. But thankfully, it's explained. And they're thinking, imagine being him. What would the color of hair be that you would never ever choose to actually use? And they came to the conclusion that Ji-hun would never dye his hair red. It would just be crazy for him to do that. So what did they do? They did just that. Pretty fun. How about the meaning behind all those outfits? You know, the participants are dressed in these teal tracksuits with their identification numbers, while the staff are in stark contrast. They're wearing these hooded jumpsuits with black masks. Well, this was done on purpose. They wanted to show the complete separation between the two. And the uniforms symbolize a loss of individuality as they're all the same for the players and staff. And just that point alone deserves a few comments. I have some that I could make, but I'm going to pass. I'll let you figure out a few that you can think of on your own there. But in addition, the fencing masks worn by the staff, those were inspired by fencing masks and traditional Korean masks, things that really existed. So if you thought they were cool on the show, no, they actually have a point and a background and meaning. How about a goof you might not have seen, and it has to do with Ji-hun's birthday. So during the first episode, when he secretly takes his mom's credit card and he enters the PIN number 0426, that's his birthday. It doesn't match up with his birthday, though, in his player file. Did you catch it? And that's also what's crazy to me, because they're putting so much thought into these things, and this happens all the time, yet on the other end, the users, the viewers, you know, the people that are receiving it, they do notice these things that are missed after all that work was put into it. Happens all the time. How about those marble games? Well, they represent human nature. So for many fans of the show, episode 6 was one of the hardest ones to watch because it was when the good-natured Ali was killed after Sang-woo tricks him into giving up his marbles. Not only was that a hard thing to watch. Apparently what it was representing overall, thought out well before you ever saw it, it represented human nature. How many of you guessed that that was what was behind it all? What did you think of the dorm that the players stayed in? Why did it look like a warehouse store? Well, you can guess it by now. There is a reason for that. The dorm was supposed to show how the players are treated like objects, piled on a shelf. I have to say, that one is pretty dark. It's just not good, is it? Those bunk beds symbolized shelves in a warehouse, and their stacking giving the appearance of seats in a battle arena. This point all in itself drives home the competitive and hierarchy. It's the nature of society. That's pretty much in your face. There really is a lot more going on than it's just a show. But what about all those actors? How did they feel about everything going on? What game terrified the actors on set? Well, the idea behind the fifth game, the glass stepping bridge game, is to instill terror, as it is nothing more, right, than sheer luck if the players land on real glass or tempered glass, leading to their demise. It turns out the actors were actually scared while filming this scene because it was 1.5 meters above the ground. And those working there will tell you that the glass did make the actors nervous. People noticed how the actors' bodies even were rigid, and you could just see the fear on their faces. They were feeling at that time like they really were about to jump off a high bridge. The game was real, and they felt real fear. Now, on a brighter side for the actors, they were pretty much amazed of all the sets. They were dreamlike. If you've watched and thought the colorful backdrops were pretty incredible, the actors did too. They were amazed by them. They were even taking their own pictures the first day they were on set. So again, we can realize how much went into everything prior to anything even starting on this. And just like the cast, everyone was actually pretty amazed with how the sets ended up, especially the colorful stairways. Remember those? It represents a world where the rules of gravity don't apply like they do in our real world. An onset would be that terrifying yet iconic doll that appears in red light, green light, that looks over the playground and finds the adults who move when the doll's head is turned, and then they're taken out. It's actually based on an iconic character that's been illustrated in children's books back in the 70s and 80s. And unless you were around reading those, that's probably a fact you didn't know. Have you thought much about the tug-of-war game? It isn't one of the most brutal childhood games that they play, but it gave it a deadly twist in the third game by actually handcuffing the players to the rope and then suspending them in air, where they would then fall to their demise. The idea behind this set was to simulate a playground. Again, that's pretty dark, but they will tell you that in that scene, they were playing a survival game to win, and they're trying to do it in an innocent setting, a childhood playground. So it in itself had some feelings of a type of conceptual art. So that's where they were going with that one. And then this is a TV show, but so you know, it was written as a movie. I mean, can you believe that this actually was almost a movie? Imagine how different it would have been. When the creator wrote it, it was written as a movie originally. But then he decided to turn it into a series, and then it allowed him to actually expand the games by quite a bit. He was also able to add characters, like Jun Ho. But was it so easy to find the characters in the first place? Well, Se-byuk was hard to cast. So prior to the Squid Game, Ho Yun Jung was a model, and it turns out that the creator was having troubles finding someone for the role of the pickpocketer. All that changed when he saw her audition tape, which she provided. And she was actually in New York at the time that she sent this in when she made the tape, and she was modeling there. But the minute that he saw her and he saw that tape, he knew that she was the one for the role. And so the show starts to come together with the stories, the sets, the actors. But what started all of this in the first place? Well, it was inspired by the real Squid Game. Did you know that was even a thing? The final game is called Squid Game, which explains the title of the series as well as the most important game, which determines who wins all that money. The game involves attackers pushing their way through a squid-shaped area while the defenders are there to try to stop them. It's a very physical game, and sometimes people get injured even, their clothes are torn. However, the creator will tell you that Squid Game was one of his favorite things to play as a child, and he believes it reflects the image of today's society. So there is a deeper meaning behind it all, which after today and talking about these things, you can kind of put that all together yourself. Another thing they did to make things relate to real life is what they did with the sets of the playgrounds. You might have noticed how giant they are. I mean, really, they were enormous. And if you thought they looked big just when you were watching it, you were right. And there is a reason for that. They were purposely made extra big so that they could resemble the way playgrounds feel when you're just a small child. The sets were gigantic, and so were the dolls. You know how sometimes they do things when they're presenting it to us, and someone could only be 5 feet tall, but somehow they make them look just as tall as the 6 foot man standing next to them? Well, in this case, those dolls actually were as big as you see them in the show. Unlike so many things being produced today, these guys wanted to avoid using computer effects if they could. They wanted it to be realistic so that it would seem realistic to you. Like I said, there was a lot that went into this, and that could be why it's the number one most watched show on Netflix in 90 countries, as I mentioned. According to Netflix, Squid Game was the biggest series they have launched ever. It reached 111 million accounts globally in less than even a month after its debut, and it was the first show to reach more than 100 million when it just premiered. It dethroned Bridgerton, whose record was 82 million accounts. Okay, there's just a couple extra things that I want to provide to you guys today about this. First one is that red light, green light doll is real. So this iconic doll in Red Light, Green Light actually exists in real life. A 10-foot replica of the doll can be found in a mall in rural Seoul, Korea. It guards a museum, actually. The show producers borrowed this doll for filming, but then returned her with a missing hand. A 10-foot version of the doll also appeared at a shopping mall in the Philippines, and it was used to discourage jaywalking. So that's a little tidbit for you. And you might also be interested in the fact that this initial script, for those of you that are out there trying to make it and submit that perfect idea to Hollywood, well, this initial script was rejected. It was written in 2008, but it wasn't picked up until Netflix until a lot later. Even though the script only took 1 year to write, Netflix didn't pick it up until 2019. That's 10 years later. So for 10 years, the show was rejected by media companies and even the actors. Well, the cast was announced in June of 2020, but then due to the pandemic, of course, they had to stop production in August and they couldn't restart until September. And we can all feel that, right, guys? I mean, I know my life completely stopped. The team and I have been basically grounded, which is extremely unfortunate, but we were not alone in that. And it is worth mentioning that although they were finally picked up, this is a big happy day, it wasn't exactly without issues. Even though Squid Game has been one of the most popular shows out there on Netflix, it did have its fair share of backlash. The South Korean internet service provider, SK Broadband, is suing for the show after increased traffic due to the streaming service's popularity in the country, claiming network usage fees. That's pretty incredible and surprising. This news comes after the South Korean court ruled just last year that Netflix should pay something in return for all of this network usage. What do you think of that? Obviously, the show has prevailed over anything that came at them. There's one other fun thing that I want to leave with you guys in case you didn't know. The guards' masks. What's up with those? Well, just so you know, along with everything else, this follows the same theme. They were inspired by an ant colony. Their outfits make them indistinguishable from each other, except for those shapes. The circle, remember, represents the workers. The triangles represent the soldiers. And the squares represent tech and management. Just another small tidbit that goes along with, like I said, the theme of what's behind all of this. This is the fun stuff, guys, that's going on in our world that a lot of people, don't even notice. But there's a lot of incoming as well that isn't so exciting. So we should be looking at these things that are really happening in our world and things that are happening around us and get involved in those things. Talk about those things. And know a little bit more about what we're watching and the world we live in. Thank you for listening today, and until next time, and I will talk to you all soon.